بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 24th of February in the year 2018, and alhamdulillah, for the last two nights I've been mentioning various blessed reports showing the immensity of the holy city of Makkah, and in particular the holy Kaaba and what is within its vicinity. So to move on to the holy city of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So first to mention a few reports with regards to Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad number 15533 and Sahih al-Jami' number 3838, our beloved Messenger, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a single salat in my masjid is better than 1,000 salah elsewhere, except in Masjid al-Haram. For a single salat there is 100 times better than a salat in my masjid. Subhanallah. So in this Sahih Hadith, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the Prophet mentioned the virtues of Salah in his blessed masjid. So in his blessed masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Salah virtue increases to 1,000. But he then mentioned that in or around the holy Kaaba, it multiplies 100,000 times. So this is the Sahih Hadith in Imam Ahmad's Muslim. There's a weekly report which mentions that there's 50,000 times the reward. But this hadith is da'if. The authentic report says it multiplies 1,000 times. In another report it mentions, in a Hakim it is Mustadrak 4-509 Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, and Sahih in As-Sahihah from 2902. Our beloved Messenger, he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one salah in this masjid of mine is better than four salah, i.e. in Masjid al-Aqsa. And how good a place of worship it is. One prayer in this masjid of mine is better than four salah there, i.e. in Masjid al-Aqsa. And how good a place of worship it is. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned now the virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa. The virtue for the prayers multiplied there 250 times. Because the virtue of Masjid al-Nabi is 1,000. And the Prophet mentioned four times superior in my masjid. But then he quickly pointed out how good a place of worship is Masjid al-Aqsa. Meaning, this is not to belittle the holy masjid. So now if you combine these two reports, you realize how beloved our beloved Messenger is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Because Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of the three holy masjids, is the most recent that is built. The ancient is Masjid al-Haram, i.e. the Kaaba Sharif. That is Masjid al-Aqsa. And what's the difference? In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, our beloved Messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the time between the construction of Masjid al-Aida, the Kaaba, and Masjid al-Aqsa is 40 years. So two of the holy masjids, they're ancient. There's a 40-year gap between the construction of both these holy masjids. Masjid al-Nabi, in comparison, is recent. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was built 1,400 or so years ago. So why then is it that Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is superior in virtue than Masjid al-Aqsa? Masjid al-Aqsa was a Qibla for the Muslims. Masjid al-Nabi has never been a Qibla for the Muslims, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the holy prophets, alayhi salatu wa sallam, including our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa. Not all the prophets have prayed in Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. History goes with Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Nabi is recent. So why then does Masjid al-Nabi have a four times superior virtue than Masjid al-Aqsa? And the simple response is, it was built by our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his blessed hands are superior to the hands of his noble brothers, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Masjid al-Haram, i.e. the Holy Kaaba, why is it that it's 100 times superior there? Because the Prophet prayed there, so that he was born there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also helped to rebuild the Holy Kaaba, according to certain reports. So note, Masjid al-Nabi, yes, it's most recent, but the virtue is 4 times greater. Another way to look at this is, what is the virtue, another virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa? Another virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa is a hadith. The hadith is in Nasa'i, and it's a Sahih hadith. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam, he made 3 du'as, 3 supplications. 2 of them were answered. And the 2 he mentioned that were answered, the first, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam said, "O my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me a kingdom like yours." Unbelievably, this was answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second dua he made, alayhi salatu wa sallam, was, "Give me judgment like yours." This was also answered by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he made a third dua, and it was for Masjid al-Aqsa. He goes, "Whoever offers a prayer here, O my Lord, purify him of sin the day his mother gave birth to." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Insha'Allah, that dua will also be answered." So now, if you look at this report, which is authentic in Nasa'i, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "One prayer in my masjid is 4 times better than the salat in Masjid al-Aqsa." So if Masjid al-Aqsa completely purifies you the day your mother gave birth to you, if you offered a prayer there, then what is the value of offering a prayer in Masjid al-Nabi? So note the immense virtues of this holy masjid. Similarly, in a hadith, in Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, Hafiz ibn Jawzi, in his Wafa ul-Wafa, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Whoever makes wudu and leaves with the intention of offering salat in my masjid, he will receive the reward of 1 hajj." Subhanallah. Whoever makes wudu and leaves with the intention of offering salah in my masjid, one report says the obligatory salat, he will receive the reward of 1 hajj. Subhanallah. So this is another virtue of Masjid al-Nabi. So when you offer the 5 obligatory prayers in the holy masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get the reward of 5 hajjs. So this really shouldn't be strange, because for any holy masjid, our beloved messenger mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Abu Dawood Hassan Hadith, "Whoever goes to the masjid with the intention of offering the obligatory prayer, his state is like the one who's wearing ihram for hajj." So this is for all masjids, meaning that when you go, you offer the wudu in your dwelling and you go to the masjid, you get the reward of wearing the ihram. But note, it doesn't mention you get the reward of hajj. You get the reward of wearing the ihram for hajj. But that is completed in Masjid al-Nabi. You actually get the reward of 1 hajj. So this is a report. There's another report in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Tabarani, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, says in Fath al-Bari, the hadith is hasan. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Whoever offers 40 prayers in my masjid without missing any of the prayer, including the opening takbir, he is then graciously free from 2 things: hypocrisy and the fire of hell." Subhanallah. "Whoever offers 40 prayers in my masjid," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "without missing any of the prayer, including the opening takbir, he is free from 2, hypocrisy and the fire of hell." So this report is very interesting, because it means 8 days. If you have the opportunity of spending 8 days in the holy city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 40 prayers secures you from 2 of the most important things to rid yourself from. One is hypocrisy. A hypocrite can't do that. Think about that. If you do that, you can't be a hypocrite. The Prophet promised you this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fire of hell. So this report, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he said, is hasan. Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi recently said is weak. So here note, there's an ikhtilaf. However, with all respect to Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani was of a greater scholarship. He was a Amirul Mu'mineen of Hadith. So obviously we take his finding with more weight than the scholars who've come recently. And this is with all respect to the ulama. So note, you'll get people saying this is a weak hadith because they're going by the grading of Shaykh Albani, rahmatullah alayh. However, you can respond by simply stating somebody greater than him, I'm sure you agree, is Ibn Hajar Asqalani, and he said the hadith is hasan. Whatever the case, you'll get 40 hajjs. Right? For each prayer, you get one hajj. So people argue over these points for no reasons. The other thing which you shouldn't get confused over, the hadith in Tirmidhi mentions the same virtue for 40 days. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever offers the prayer without missing any of the obligatory prayer for 40 days, then he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. This is for the noble masjid. So normally you'd have to offer 200 prayers without missing the opening takbir. But that's reduced by 192 days in Masjid al-Nabi. Think about that, right? And this is again another gift Allah Ta'ala has given to this masjid because he loves his messenger more than anything. Also another virtue of the glorious Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Ibn Majah number 227, Ahmad in his Musnad number 9409, Abu Ya'la number 6472, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Bihaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman number 1698, Ibn Abi Shaybah number 34616. Our beloved messenger, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever comes to my masjid to learn or to teach knowledge, he then stands equal in rank to the mujahid striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Whoever comes to my masjid to learn or to teach knowledge, he then stands equal in rank to the mujahid striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another virtue for Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is the usual reward? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever comes to the masjid that we're doing now, to learn or to teach, he gets the reward of an accepted hajj. This is recorded in Hakim Sahih Hadith. Another hadith in Tabarani Sahih mentions you get the reward of an accepted umrah. So this is the virtue of a normal masjid, in inverted commas. But in Masjid al-Nabi, another virtue is added. You get the reward of equal rank to the mujahid. So somebody who is actually fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get equal reward to what he gets. So what reward does he get? We mentioned this when I was going through the blessed life of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu. The hadith is in Hakim Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever stands for 1 hour in the rows of jihad, he gets more reward than 60 years of salat. Sahih hadith. Meaning you're not even fighting the enemy, you're standing in the rows. So that's greater than 60 years salat. Therefore, superimpose that for Masjid al-Nabi. If you spend 1 hour discussing sacred knowledge, sharing or learning, then you get equal rank to the mujahid in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet greatly encouraged people to study in his blessed masjid. So what then is the reward for the Ashab al-Suf? Think about that. So note, Masjid al-Nabi has an immense place in our glorious deen, and there's so many virtues which are obviously linked to that holy masjid. Then you've got the holy grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first thing to point out is our beloved messenger's grave sallallahu alaihi wasallam was separate from the masjid. His grave was never a part of the masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It only became part of the masjid in the time after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is important to highlight because some people say, why is the grave of the Prophet in the masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The answer is it wasn't, but now it's become incorporated into the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what do we know about the holy grave? In Bayhaqi in his Sunan, Hafiz Dimyati in his Al-Matjar number 906, our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he who visited me sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Madinah with the expectation of reward will then be next to me on the day of resurrection. Subhanallah. He who visited me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Al-Madinah, with ihtisab, with the expectation of reward, will be next to me on the day of resurrection. So what's the virtue for going to pay your respects to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, You're going to be next to the Prophet on the Day of Judgment. Who greater can you have with you on the Day of Resurrection? So this is one virtue of visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A second, in Deylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, and his Hassan in As-Sahihah, number 1530, our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is an angel at the grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, just now sent the salat upon you. Subhanallah. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, just now sent the salat upon you. So let's look at this. So this is an authentic report in Deylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus. Abu Bakr Siddiq narrates the hadith, radiallahu anhu. He narrates very few hadiths. He heard the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's one angel, imagine the power of this angel, alayhi salatu wa sallam. It's at the grave of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What has Allah the Almighty and Glorious, what ability has He given this angel? He's given this one angel, alayhi salatu wa sallam, the ability to hear every salat al-Nabi on the face of the earth. Doesn't affect him. He hears every single one. And he passes it very easily to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says to him, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. So if you send, so if I send it, the angel would say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Yusuf, the son of Shamlos, has sent you salat just now. That's the hadith. So now, what's the virtue then? A person goes, okay, that's the hadith. What's the virtue then? Your name is being mentioned to the Holy Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're having a connection, a relationship with the Holy Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hears certain names more than others. So if somebody does one Durood Sharif more than you, his name has been mentioned once more in the divine court, more than you. So that's why the ulama say, the one who does it more, he's more connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's a secret in this hadith. The secret in the hadith is, it's not just your name, it's your father's name. So why does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention that? Because Allah Ta'ala wants to honor your father as well, if he's got iman. So think about it, you're sending the salat, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning through the angel to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam your name, which is mashallah, and your father's name, meaning it will benefit your father. What greater gift can you send to your father than to send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So therefore, note, this is at the grave. So when you go to the holy grave of the Prophet, there's that angel there. But note, he has the ability to hear all the salat and nabi. Now why is that very interesting? Because if Allah Ta'ala wants one creation to hear everything, who are we to start using our logic? Right? So for example, have you ever heard a Muslim when he hears this hadith, deny this hadith, because that doesn't make sense. How can one angel hear all the salat and nabis at the same time? It doesn't make sense. And the response is, Allah Ta'ala gives this ability to whoever he wishes. But even more amazing, the Prophet replies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my soul returns to me, and I return the salam. So again, what's interesting is people bypass the angel. They query this part of the hadith. Because how is that possible that the Prophet can return the salam? Well, first of all, how did the angel have this ability? So therefore we say, look, if the Prophet mentioned it and the hadith is authentic, we don't use logic. And no, the Prophet isn't getting troubled by it. Like some people start getting whispers. They go, oh, I feel sorry for him because he'll just be continually sending salam. As if Allah Ta'ala is going to burden the Prophet. He loves to send. And he can do it very easily with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's hearing your name. Imagine you send one durood now, your name has been mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that, you know, subhanallah. A third virtue of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 1544, number 3997. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he who invokes blessings upon me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before my grave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel, alayhi salatu wa salam, who conveys this to me, And as a result, he has granted all his needs in this world and the next, and I shall be for him an intercessor or witness. Subhanallah. This adds something. When you said salat here, there's an angel who conveys it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question. What if you send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his grave? Now something else happens. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same thing. There's an angel, he conveys it to me. But then he added a few things. He goes, as a result, all his needs in this world and the next will be answered. You didn't even ask for it. You're at the holy grave. You just sit down. You start doing the Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The angel conveys it. Allah Ta'ala is fulfilling all your needs in this world and the akhirat. And to crown it off, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I shall be for him an intercessor or witness. Again, Bole Bali Musulman, they go to the grave of the Prophet, Salaam Alaikum, walk straight past, go to take away. Hang on a minute, brother. Right? Find a spot to sit and start doing the Durood Sharif. I'll give him my salam, brother. Why do I need to do the Durood Sharif for? And there you go. He hasn't understood. But this is at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's very easy to find a spot. You don't sit right in front of the grave. You just walk. And even if you can't find a place within the chamber, you can sit outside. Nobody bothers you there. You're looking at the holy chamber and you just sit and do the Durood Sharif. And what do you get for that? All your needs in this world, all your needs in the akhirat, and the Prophet will intercede for you on the day of resurrection. So this is only if you go there. This is a virtue for those who attend. Another report. In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf 7-181, with a sahih chain of transmission, Nafi ibn Jubair rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, if you come by the grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then say, peace be upon you, peace be upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then shaitan says, we cannot accompany this person now. Subhanallah. Nafi ibn Jubair said, if you come by the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then say, peace be upon the Prophet and the mercy of Allah. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah. Shaitan says, we can't accompany this person now. Now what does this mean? Sahih hadith. It means, when you go to the holy grave and you give salam to the Prophet ﷺ, it cripples shaitan. It weakens him greatly. He has less ability over you. Why? Because you've given salam to the Prophet ﷺ. And don't we all want this? My iman's weak. We'll cripple the shaitan. And how? Go to the holy grave, give salam. Bole bale, right? Because I've done it though. And he goes, I've done it. Like a burden for him. What do you mean you've done it? And there's other reports. The reports mentioned, for instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever comes to me after I pass away, it is like he has visited me when I was alive. Mm-hmm. Think about that. If somebody says to you, how honorable is it to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's like you visited the Prophet when he was with you. But this doesn't make you sahaba. Mm-hmm. You don't go around saying, I'm radiyallahu anhu, right? It just means you've been given an honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you go to the grave. Also, another report mentions that the Prophet will intercede for you, etc., etc. These reports suffer from weakness. But what's been mentioned authentically, it doesn't go against the reports. Therefore, when you go to the grave of the Prophet, this is an immense thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another amazing thing about the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ulama have mentioned, consensus, all the scholars, they go, as the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest place in creation. It's greater than the arsh, it's greater than the kursi, it's greater than the paradise, it's greater than firdaus. Think about that. Somebody goes to you, where do you yearn to go? He goes, Jannat al firdaus. And he goes, I know one better. He goes, brother, you know, you, which firqa do you belong to? Is go to the grave of the Prophet. That's greater than firdaus. All the scholars mentioned that. So you're actually going to the holiest place in creation. Why? Because that is where the dust of the Messenger of Allah was used to create him. The Prophet said in Tirmidhi, wherever you are buried, that is the place where your constituent was taken to create you. So the Prophet, his blessed dust was taken from that holy vicinity. And this also shows the status of Abu Bakr and Umar, who are buried next to him. Their dust is not right next to the Prophet. Just that in itself should silence people. And there's one spot reserved for Jesus Christ, Isa. But if you look at the reports about the prophets, it actually means that Jesus Christ will pass away at the grave of the Prophet. Why? Because a prophet is buried where he dies. So look how touching. The last thing that Jesus Christ does before he goes to Jannat al-Firdaus, he's giving salam to the Prophet. And at that spot he passes away. And then the people bury him. So note how much love Jesus Christ has for our beloved messenger. And he wants to pass away there. So note, the grave of the Prophet is another incredible honor given to us by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you've got the city itself, city of Al-Madinah. Now in Arabic, Al-Madinah means city. So in actual fact, in Arabic, it doesn't really make sense to call a city a city. If somebody goes, which city do you come from? Because I come from the city. Because I know, but which city do you come from? I come from the city. Right? That's how strange it is in Arabic. Al-Madinah means city. But the key is Al, the city. So look how interesting, even in the name, you don't need to know anything else. If this is the city where the Messenger of Allah lies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do we know about this holy city? In Imam Malik's Muwatta, number 1005, our beloved Messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no place upon the earth which is more beloved to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for my grave to be buried in than here, i.e. Al-Madinah. Look how beautiful. There is no place upon the surface of the earth which is more beloved to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for my grave to be buried in than here. Now why is this fascinating? Because he loved Makkah. When he left Makkah, he says, there is no land more beloved to you, O my Lord, than this. But my people have forced me to leave. But this shows that Allah Ta'ala placed the love of Medina into his heart. And he wanted to be buried there, imagine. Despite the fact how much he loved Makkah, Allah Ta'ala fulfilled that wish of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. That's why the people, the true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they want to be buried in Medina to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report it mentions, and this is why there's a report in Imam Malik's Muwatta, and this man was buried in Medina, and somebody then said, what a bad place to be buried. So the Prophet looked at that man and he says, what are you saying? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, I didn't mean that, Ya Rasulullah. What I meant was, he's not been martyred, because he's just dead. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no death more nobler than that of a martyr, but there is no place where I would love to be buried more than this city. Right? So note again, the Prophet didn't like people making these statements, because this is the holy city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Tirmidhi, authentic, whoever is buried in Medina, I will intercede for him on the day of resurrection. The Prophet says, I promised to intercede for him. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to get martyred, he made another dua. He said, oh my Lord, let me die in the city of your beloved. Why did he make that dua? He not only wanted martyrdom, he wanted the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be in this. And not only is he buried in Medina, next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What else is in the holy city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The blessed mountain of Uhud. Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. So think about that. Uhud loves the believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we love it. When he would see Uhud coming back from a campaign or a journey, he would very quickly quicken his pace to the city, his beloved city. Uhud is the most beloved mountain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what's interesting about Uhud? There's a hadith in Ibn Majah number 3150. Our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uhud stands at one of the gates of paradise. Subhanallah. Uhud stands at one of the gates of paradise. So what does this mean? So there's 8 gates of paradise. The hadith mentions this clearly. What does it mean? Uhud stands at one of the gates of paradise. So the scholars, they look into this hadith, and one interpretation is that it is a gateway to paradise. Why? Who are buried at the base of Uhud? Mm-hmm. The 70 blessed martyrs who were martyred in the Ba'al of Uhud, named after the mountain. So it actually takes you to paradise. So look how beautiful. Even the mountain overlooking the city of the Prophet is a gateway to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. So no, that's why he said, we love it, it loves us. So when you're looking at Uhud, you should actually think this is actually a gateway to paradise. Subhanallah. What else do we do at Uhud? Hafiz ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, in his Wafa ul Wafa, our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you pass by Uhud, eat something from its vegetation, even if it be a simple blade of grass. When you pass by this mountain, Ayy Uhud, then eat something from its vegetation, even if it be a simple blade of grass. This is a command. So what does this mean? It means it's Jannah. Get some of Jannah inside your system. So what do people do? They go there, take selfies, mashallah. Well done, brothers, right? And then the guy's picking his nose, right? So then you think, brother, why do you eat that blade of grass? Then they give you that really confused look. Where did you get that from, brother? Right? Well, you're not exactly drenched in sunnah, brother. You're asking me as if you're walking sunnah. But so the response is, the Prophet told you. Now what is this? So the scholars, they say it's a command. So what you do, just have a quick scan around the mountain, and his guards there, you'll be careful, right? And then you just distract him. Next minute, get a blade or a leaf, take it and eat it. And then something happens. There must be a reason the Prophet gave. And the simple response your own fitrah is telling you is, Jannah has entered your system. Meaning it was now going to protect you. There's something about that mountain. Right? How many people have done that? You ask people, Buddha, have you been to Uhud? Yeah. What do you do there? Abu Kajur. MashaAllah. Then you've got Masjid al-Quba. Masjid al-Quba is just outside the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do we know about this masjid? This was the first masjid the Prophet built. Think about that. When people ask you that question, what's the first masjid the Prophet built? The Masjid al-Nabi. No, it was Quba. So the fact that he built it shows that it's going to have tremendous blessings and honor. He stayed there for a week. He offered the first Jummah in Quba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People don't know that. Where did he offer the first Jummah? In Masjid al-Nabi. No. He did it in Quba. Built it, first Jummah. What do we know about this masjid? In Ibn Abi Shaybah 2-264, Fath al-Bari 3-69, Hasan, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu said, that I pray 2 rakats in Masjid al-Quba is more beloved to me than going to Bayt al-Maqdis 2 times. Subhanallah. That I pray 2 rakats in Masjid al-Quba is more beloved to me than going to Masjid al-Aqsa 2 times. So then you ask brothers, brother, you want to go Masjid al-Aqsa? Oh yeah, I'm ready. Right? And he goes, you want to go Masjid al-Quba? Oh brother, what is end of day, innit? Right? He goes, end of day what, brother? Right? End of day, Quba, innit? So he goes, so Masjid al-Aqsa appeals to you more. Goes, well, brother, look at the history and look at this and look at that. What about Masjid al-Quba? Masjid al-Quba. And there you go. He doesn't understand what Masjid al-Quba is. Then you turn around and say, I would rather offer 2 rakats in Masjid al-Quba than to visit Masjid al-Aqsa twice. Doesn't mention prayer there. So imagine somebody goes to you, Alhamdulillah, I've been once. If I go again, after somebody says to me, you've been twice, Brother Yusuf, yes, it's more beloved to me to offer 2 rakats in Masjid al-Quba. And this isn't to belittle Masjid al-Aqsa. Why is it so great? Because the Prophet built it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said, if Masjid al-Quba was in the sky, I would still find a way to get there. But guess what? It's not in the sky. It's in Medina. Imagine. If somebody says to you, it's in the place where your life's in danger, Umar was basically saying, so what? I'm still going to get there. place impossible to get to. He said, another planet, I'm still going to get there. Look at Umar's love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't need to go through the hardship. Guess what? It's not something we really, it's not like the main dish. But when you actually go there, you should think, it might not be the main dish. But Allahu Akbar, this is better than offering, going to visit Masjid al-Aqsa twice. Think about that. Famous report, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever offers two rakats in Masjid al-Quba, he gets the reward of an Umrah. You only appreciate that when you've done the Umrah. People who haven't done Umrah don't understand what Umrah is. When you do the Umrah and you think two rakats is much easier than this, go to Masjid al-Quba and look how interesting. Two rakats. What if a person prays all his prayers there? That person, what do you mean? Because he does Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. How many rakats has he done? It's probably about 50. So has he got 25 umrah? Then the guy's not even thinking, he goes, hey, that's true. Well, brother, wake up and smell the roses, innit? Right? He's getting umrah for two rakats. Why don't you go there? Look how much effort we have to make to go to umrah. Get your ihram, get your suitcase ready, get vaccination, flana tinkla, right? Get on plane, get this, that, book a hotel. Right? And somebody goes, after that, you'll have smash with the ihram, Allah. And somebody goes to you, nice, comfy, gets up, goes to Masjid al-Quba, two rakats. Alhamdulillah, umrah. Subhanallah. To be more precise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to Masjid al-Quba every Saturday morning. So he would make it, he would go out of his way. Are we more busy than the Messenger of Allah? Imagine, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who had to give the message to the entire universe. He went out of his way to go there on Saturday morning. He would sometimes ride there, mentioned in Sahih Muslim, sometimes he would walk. Some people walk, fine. You can ride there as well, there's no harm. Saturday morning, you'll get also another reward of a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Masjid al-Quba, you should try to go there as well. What is one of the great gifts? One of the great gifts in Masjid al-Haram is Zamzam, which I mentioned yesterday. One of the immense gifts that Allah Ta'ala has given to the city of His beloved, He's giving you dates. But there's a specific type of date He's given you. It's called Ajwa. Mm-hmm. So now look how interesting. He's giving you the drink in Makkah. But in Medina, He goes, I'm going to give you some food. What's special about Ajwa? In Sahih Bukhari, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who eats 7 Ajwa dates every morning will then not be affected by poison or witchcraft on the day he eats them. Think about that. Even if somebody gives you poison, you have 7 Ajwa dates, it nullifies it for that day. That's it, only for that day. Witchcraft, because it goes every day. Meaning that, you know, obviously, you know, ideally if you can have it every day. This is the first hadith. Why? In Tirmidhi number 2068, Ibn Majah number 3455, Hassan, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ajwa are from paradise and they are a healing from poison. Look how interesting. The person goes, they're not from paradise. I'll take you to the orchard now. And he goes, where's the orchard? He goes, yeah, but where is it? Which city is this? He goes, Medina. And he goes, is it near Uhud? Yeah. Well, you're in Jannah, aren't you? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ajwa are from paradise. They are a healing from poison. Another report, in Ibn Majah number 3453, Ahmad in his Musnad 3-48, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ajwa are from paradise, and they are a healing from possession. Subhanallah. Ajwa are from paradise, and they are a healing from possession, the jinn. If a person is possessed, you give him Ajwa, you see what happens. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's not rattling. Right? Why? Because Jannah's entered your system. Next minute, what's the shaitan going to do? Wherever there's Jannah, he has to come out. And what's interesting, one of the shuyukh mentioned, when the jinn leave the body, a very foul smell leaves the body. And I've experienced that as well. Right? A very foul smell. Why? Because it's evil. So Ajwa is a healing from poison, is a healing from witchcraft, and possession. So if a person is suffering from the jinnat, Ajwa is something immense given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, some ulama have mentioned that it doesn't have to be ajma. Any dates from Al-Madinah have that property. Because Medina is the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That view is fine, but the Prophet didn't say any dates. He said ajwa. But if you can't get ajwa, then you can simply say, have you got anything from Al-Madinah, brother? Any day is blessed from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's fine. But ajwa are the most superior dates. So note, when you go to Makkah, Allah Ta'ala has given you Jannah. When you go to the city of His beloved, Allah Ta'ala has given you Jannah. Now what's amazing, to wrap up. What was Medina like before the Prophet came? You ask people that question. Because brother, I've mentioned all these hadiths about Medina. Right? So a person goes, SubhanAllah, brother, Allahu Akbar. Because now another question. What was it like before the Prophet came? So a person is naturally going to start thinking like this. MashaAllah, is probably still blessed, but it wasn't as blessed. He goes, so is that what you think? Yes. He goes, this is what Medina was like before the Prophet came. It was the most pestilential place on earth. If you wanted to get ill or die, go to Medina. When the Sahaba migrated to Medina, they all fell ill. Abu Bakr fell ill, Bukhari Sharif. Bilal fell ill, Bukhari Sharif. Aisha fell ill, Bukhari. Only one person didn't, the Holy Prophet. So they complained, because Ya Rasulullah, he goes, you brought us to such a place that everybody just falling, you know, getting ill. The Prophet made a dua. He goes, oh my Lord, remove the pestilence, take it to Juhfa, where the Jews are. Right? And it was 84 miles, right? So it left. Somebody goes, how powerful was that dua? When you now go to Al-Madinah, you got to actually pinch yourself to remind yourself of that. This is a place where you should drop dead. But because the greatest of creation, imagine, look at his status. Because the greatest of creation spent 10 years there. Look how that land transformed. Allahu Akbar, think about that, right? When you go there, you think, I can't believe where you get, which hadith is that? It's in Bukhari. The guy goes, hey. But the name changed. It was called Yathrib. Then the name changed to Al-Madinah. Why? Because very symbolic. Yathrib is disease. Medina is the cure. That's the old name. In fact, one hadith says, if you call my city Yathrib, you have to give sadaqah in expiation. Don't call my city Yathrib, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's Medina. And look how interesting, in the Battle of the Trench, when the Kuffar came to annihilate the Muslims, the Munafiqs in Al-Madinah, they went back to the old name. It's in Surah Ahzab. He goes, oh people of Yathrib. Look how Allah Ta'ala exposed them. He goes, they went back to the old name. The Sahaba would never have gone back to the old name. And you find that in the 21st Subhan. So look how amazing. We got the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to wrap up. So there's 10 means of Shafa. In these 3 sessions we spent. 2 in Makkah, 1 in Al-Madinah. There's 10 means of Shafa. The first is to ask the prophets to make dua for you when you get to the Holy Qaaba. 300 prophets are buried there, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ask them to make a dua for you. The second Shafa is touching the black stone. If you touch the black stone, Allah Ta'ala will give you Shafa. The third is touching the Yemeni corner. There's Shafa there. The fourth is iltizam, between the black stone and the door. You made that special dua. The fifth is touching the maqam of Ibrahim. There's shafa there. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The sixth is zamzam, but with all the etiquettes I've mentioned. The seventh is eating vegetation from Uhud. There's shafa there. Eighth is ajwa, 7 in the morning. 9 is doing Durood Sharif at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just sit there, keep doing Durood Sharif. And the 10th is asking the Messenger of Allah to make a dua for you at his grave. There's a report in Bayhaqi which mentions that if you go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you recite the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim." Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna 'alan nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما صلى الله عليه وسلم And then you say 70 times, Sallallahu alayka ya Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An angel at the grave says, O servant of Allah, ask, all your needs will now be fulfilled. So this is another means to get your needs fulfilled. So all of those 10 things, I've given you the proofs. So note, you get the best of all worlds by going to the cities, which Allah Ta'ala has blessed so very much. So all I mentioned today was basically a few blessed reports now about the city of our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Of course, there's far more, but I've given you, you know, some of the key points to reflect upon. At the same time, creating a desire for you to go there again and again to pay our respects to our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Are there any questions? Don't ask. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم